Charlie Brennan on The Voice of St. Louis. Thanks for joining us. Joe Cordell has just opened a London office. We're talking about international divorce right now, Joe. Actually, I was driving in New England last November, and I heard a Cordell and Cordell commercial. I go, oh my goodness, I thought you were just based in St. Louis, but it's far from the truth. Now you have an international law firm. Good to have you back on KMOX. Are you still 725 all zeros?
That's right. Thank you, Charlie, for having me on.
Well, let's talk about something today that probably didn't exist years ago, and that is when mostly guys have photos of the spouse or soon-to-be ex-spouse and to kind of inflict pain, retaliate against some perceived wrong, they send the photos out on Twitter or Instagram or email, text messages. It's called revenge porn, but does it really happen much?
Yeah, it's very common. As a matter of fact, it's created a bit of a crisis in the law, and it appears, as you might guess, commonly in domestic relations cases. It's in that context that it often arises after some conflict between the parties, although in some cases they're not even married. But what I think has happened here is that, yeah, the law has failed to keep up with this fast unfolding technological opportunity, so to speak. But also the mores and norms have changed. I mean, that I was surprised when I started seeing this 7 or 8, 10 years ago that so many people voluntarily participated in sex, filming this sort of sexual activity. And yet, apparently, it's not uncommon. It's increasingly common. And to exchange through Twitter and other media, to exchange pictures of themselves. So what might seem a good idea when you're on very good terms with your partner can turn into a very bad idea if things go south.
Is it against the law for me to send a compromising image of my partner?
Well, it may be or it may not be. And that's part of the problem, is that it's a very gray area. From a civil standpoint, most states have on their books a cause of action called public disclosure of private facts. So, you know, that's a tort, which means you can sue somebody. But you have to show intent and some other elements. So it's often a difficult thing to prove. You have to have an intent to cause emotional distress or other things. From a criminal standpoint, there's a trend that has really taken hold. If we were to go back just to 2013, there were only three states that had on their books a cause of action, a criminal cause of action for this sort of activity. Today, 2 years later, there are 15 states and another 12 that have pending legislation. So they're trying to catch up. The legislatures are.
How about Missouri and Illinois?
Well, Missouri is not one of those who's currently passed. I'm not sure about Illinois, but Missouri has not currently passed a law. Part of the argument is in the legislatures between, you know, is this going to be based on privacy, where you don't have to show any sort of intent to harm or intent to cause stress? And so a privacy act is simply showing someone intentionally disclosed this. So naturally, that's the preference of those who are wanting to prevent this sort of activity. But if you use harassment, and harassment is the most common basis, then there has to be that other element. And that gets real murky.
Did you have any cases like this 10, 20 years ago?
It would have been very rare. Yeah,
because people would have to take photos and mail them or something like that.
Yeah.
And now you just tweet it or you send a text or an email, right?
Yeah, and it's become a fashion of sorts. And I know this is a bit of a generational thing. So I think as you go, you know, below 30, you see it more commonly. But there's no question that it seems to be a practice that is prevalent. And it's causing, you know, a lot of difficulty for people who are having these pictures exposed, typically women.
Is the sender in the least bit okay if the photo was taken with the consent of the if the photo is taken of someone who's consenting to the photo? Let's say Bob sends out photos of a nude Lisa. What if Lisa agreed to pose for the photo?
Well, that doesn't get them over the hurdle with, I don't think, any of this legislation, actually. The consent that's important and what is unfolding now online with the major online firms is that Google, Twitter, and Facebook have all in the past 3 to 6 months have passed rules that if there's any sexually explicit photos, there has to be consent. This is a big step. Google just announced this a few weeks ago. big step for Google, and they want to hurry to disclaim this so that this won't be confused with the battle they're fighting in Europe about the right to be forgotten. They're saying this is different. This is more in the nature of a sort of an assault or a harassment. So any of these will take the site, take the pictures down. But remember, once they're out there and they're published or downloaded, it doesn't stop the harm completely.
And the guy, and it's usually a guy, is sending these of his wife or girlfriend after the relationship has gone south.
Yeah, almost without exception.
Yeah.
Those are when it's happening.
Would you mind taking a few phone calls?
Sure.
Joe Cordell is with us today, 725-ALL-ZEROS. Just opened his London office, based in St. Louis, however. 436-7900. You might have a question about this in particular or divorce in general. Estimate how many divorce cases you've handled through the years?
Well, I'd say more through the firm, but 50,000 plus,
wow.
I imagine.
So when people say, how's business, you say?
Well, you know, divorce isn't going away anytime soon.
All right, let's take a few phone calls here at 436-7900, 800-925-1120. And then we'll go from there on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Joe Cordell, Cordell & Cordell, 725, all zeros, just opened up his London office, of course, based in St. Louis, and with us today talking about a relatively new phenomenon, not a really encouraging one. It's called revenge porn. Someone is upset with his or her partner or spouse or girlfriend or, you know, husband and sends out nude photos of that person to kind of harm him or her. And now you can get into some serious legal problems. But let me ask you this. In terms of judges and divorce, how do the courts look upon spouses who do something like this? Does that, like, threaten your ability to get custody if you are engaging in revenge porn?
Well, I mean, it kind of the principle that both parties in a divorce need to keep in mind is that they want credibility before the judge. And they don't want the judge, if possible, to dislike them, because judges in family courts have broad discretion, it's called, meaning, you know, their opinion is difficult to overturn. So when one of the parties is engaging in that sort of activity, it really poisons the well with the court, and it can have ramifications in a variety of ways. I mean, it can impact attorney fees. Yes, it can impact custody implicitly or explicitly. So, I mean, it's simply a fact that judges don't like it. They will use whatever legal means or implicit means it takes to correct it. And we've seen that time and time again. Occasionally, we've been representing a client who, you know, I think that your listeners know that attorneys don't always control their clients. And matter of fact, often they don't. And we've had clients who were on this course of action that we knew was going to be a problem. We had a case here in St. Louis where our client was threatening to release a film that the parties had made during the marriage. And we discouraged it. We told this guy that it was going to be a problem with the court. The wife ends up hiring a criminal lawyer to stop it. So our client has to hire a criminal lawyer. The judge gets wind of it. Naturally, opposing counsel makes the judge aware of this threat that's floating out there. And so the judge has made very clear that he will take firm action, though he didn't grant them the order that they wanted in advance, which was a restraining order, because he felt that he didn't have the constitutional power to do that under the circumstances. Another example of how gray this whole area is. So our client was frustrated, thankfully, with our advice and our refusal to cooperate on that plan of action. So he fires us and, I assume, hired someone else, and I don't know what came of it.
Mm. Everyone wants to be the next Steven Spielberg. Hello, Chris. You're on KMOX.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Joe, if that attorney thing doesn't work out for you, you might consider a career in weather forecasting.
Absolutely. Yeah, he did a good job, didn't he?
It may pay better. I don't know. We haven't talked money
look out
yet.
Dean DeVore.
Question for you. I'm more intrigued by a phrase that you used. In Europe, you mentioned there is a right to be forgotten. What is that?
Well, the EU is waging this battle with Google. I mean, the EU has been persuaded that people should be allowed to have fresh starts. And a number of very high-profile cases have come up there where people have engaged in reckless, but even criminal behavior in their youth. And youth may not necessarily be under 18, but say 19 or 20. And that has come back to haunt their career for the next 50 years. And that wouldn't have happened 20 years ago back. So now every mistake that we make, however small, is captured arguably somewhere online. And so often employers, military, and other other people that are important in our lives find that information. So they've decided that if someone asks to be forgotten, that they want that Google to cooperate in making information unavailable. So it's this tug of war between freedom of information, the First Amendment people, and the people who are advocates of privacy. You know, what's the balance between those two concerns?
And what's the latest in Europe? Does someone have the opportunity to tell Google, I want my embarrassing past erased from the Google archives?
I think Google, in the one case that came up, which was a criminal violation of a guy that's much younger, I think that they cooperated and took it off. But their position officially to the administration there is that they're going to fight this. So I think it's going to end up in court.
How interesting. Well, we have to let you go now. But word to the wise is almost like saying, hey, you might not want to smoke a cigarette near a gasoline pump. You might not want to have anybody take photos of you if your clothes are off.
That's the lesson. Yeah, that's the lesson.
I think it's a good lesson, and hopefully people are going to abide by it. Joe, I've got to let you go now. Thanks so much for joining us today. That phone number, once again, is 314-725-0000.
Thank you, Charlie. It's always a pleasure.
Good to have you back on KMOX, and good luck with your London office there. Hey, John Lundoff.